Let's pray together. Lord, we do indeed bring praise to your name. You deserve it. You are exalted and most high. Lord, in a world that seems to exalt humanity, we stand before a holy and exalted God, and we say, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Lord, speak to us today through your word, by your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you all know, I work in the computer industry. And in the computer industry, there are something called name servers out there. Most everyone in this room uses them every day, but you have no idea that you're using them. In fact, every time your phone, your computer, your email, or your server tries to find out where something is, you're accessing a name server, and you didn't even know it. You bunch of name server users. Name servers are scattered throughout the world, and they act as a directory lookup, and they find the names. For instance, when you pull up fbcplaquemine.org, that's really a number. But you don't go around typing in numbers to try to get to a website. You type in the name, fbcplaquemine.org. And the name server translates that into a number for you so that you know how to get where you're trying to get on the internet. Did you know that? Name servers are everywhere. Of course, Jimmy knows that. But Jimmy, we need to share with them more than just about name servers. We need to share that there is an authoritative name server. And an authoritative name server is different than a regular old name server. And while there might be millions of name servers out there, there is but one authoritative name server for every domain that you want to look up. Because there's got to be a boss. Because if there ain't no boss, then nobody knows what to do. The authoritative name server says, this is the real record. And this is the real lookup for your domain. And it tells every other name server what to do. The authoritative name server. Without it, no one would know where to go. If you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 28, what Jeff read for us a few moments earlier. We're going to be reading now and talking about authority, because without authority, no one knows what to do. And the Bible speaks much about authority. In fact, in the New Testament, we see much about authority, and we're going to delve into authority this morning and see what the Gospels have to tell us about authority. If you're new to us or haven't been with us, we're walking through the entire Bible together. We are reading in the Gospels this week, and so I have chosen something that stuck out to me this week, and that is that Jesus is the boss. Jesus is in charge. And while there are a lot of man-made versions of Jesus out there, there is but one biblical Jesus. And the Bible is very clear about Jesus, and that is that Jesus is the boss. Jesus is in charge, and he tells us who we are. We don't tell him who he is. He tells us who we are. In fact, he tells us not only who we are, but what to do. This is the Jesus of the Bible. He's not someone that we fabricate or make or try to tweak to our own liking. He's someone that we accept for who he is, and we bow our knee to him. We do not expect him to be what we want him to be. Matthew 28, beginning of verse 17. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came back and says to them, what does he say, church? All what? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Mic drop moment, right? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. In other words, I'm the what? the boss. There is no other. I am Jesus. I am the King. I am the one. I'm the one in charge. I am the authority. And then what does he do immediately following that? Many of you have heard this verse. You've heard the passage, but he prefaces the passage of go and tell everybody and go make disciples of Jesus by saying, and I'm the boss. So I'm giving you your orders. And if you're a military person, you understand what this means. When the general walks in, you do what the general says because he's the general. And this is Jesus giving marching orders to his disciples to go and make more disciples. Because Jesus is the boss. If you will turn in your Bible, we're going to walk through Mark for a few moments. Mark chapter 2. Jesus declares that he's the boss, but even from the beginning, that's the end of the story, if you will. That's right, that's after Jesus is raised. Even from the beginning, Mark chapter 2, Jesus is not ashamed to declare that he is the boss, that he's in charge. Mark chapter 2, verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, he says, remember, men dropped a man who was paralyzed through the roof. Jesus sees their faith and he says to the paralytic man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, well, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, you're not blaspheming if you're forgiving sins and you're God, right? It's not blasphemous for God to forgive sins, and Jesus is very clearly telling them, I am God. Nonetheless, verse 8, and immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they question within themselves, says, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But, and hear this, but that you may know that the Son of Man has what? Authority on earth to forgive sins. So guess what? The authority wasn't given to Jesus at the end of his life. Guess what he already had by Mark chapter 2? The authority. So that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he immediately picked up his bed, went out before them, so that all were amazed and glorified God. When they recognized that Jesus had authority, they worshiped God. See it? When you recognize who Jesus is, in a similar way, you give glory to God. And church, can we not speak to this? Have we recognized who Jesus is? Have we bended our own knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and then worshiped God because of it? You know, many people see Christianity as something that you don't want to do and something that, man, I don't want to be a part of that. But Christianity is the exact opposite. A believer in Jesus finally comes and says, I can lose my burden and trust in the Lord Jesus and have life now. That's what Christianity is. Remember Pilgrim, a Christian, the Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, and he has this burden on his back and it weighs him down so much. When he finally gets to the cross and he sees Jesus, the burden rolls away. This is Christianity. And this same story, it's in Luke chapter 4. You can look it up there as well. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8 verse 5 says this, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does this. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to him, to those who followed him, truly I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such faith as this. You know who can recognize authority most clearly? Somebody who's in authority. And that's exactly what happened here in this story. A centurion. Who does a centurion have authority over? A centurion. 100 soldiers, right? Y'all have heard this story before, probably. 100 soldiers are under a centurion. So a centurion can tell, hey, soldiers, go do this. Hey, you soldier, do this. And it's his job to do it. And so he is in authority. And when he walks to Jesus, he recognizes and says, this is a guy who's in authority. And that's exactly how he deals with Jesus. He doesn't beg him and try to tell him what to do. The centurion, the authoritative man, comes and says, I recognize that your authority is greater than mine. Because I can't heal, but I know that you can. And I don't even need you to do it my way. I just want you to do it. Y'all know how much peace there is in that? Christian, let me ask you. Do you come to the Lord like this? Like this centurion? Do you come to the Lord and say, Lord, do this and this and this for me, and do this and that, and do it this way for me? Or do you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm coming submissive to you. I have a desire in my heart. I'm giving it to you. Do as you please, Lord. Yeah. When you truly recognize the authority of Jesus, you can surrender your own authority. It's not that the centurion didn't have any authority over his cohort anymore, right? It's that he recognized that Jesus was a greater authority. And this is what Christians do. Christians can come before Jesus and say, I humble myself before you, Lord Jesus. You are God. There are thousands of name servers, I've told you, out there on the internet. Thousands of them. But those name servers know who's in charge. Those name servers know which name server is the authority. And they don't try to become the name server. They do their job. Christian, it's our job to bend our knee before Jesus and allow him to do what he's going to do. It's not like we can boss him around. So beware if you hear of teachings that might ask you to speak Jesus into doing what you want him to do, or to demand Jesus, or to boldly tell him what to do, because after all, you're you, right? Beware. Jesus spoke and did what people in authority do. Many of you watched a sporting event this weekend. You may have watched our LSU Tigers go into Starkville and, sorry Jason, but tell those Bulldogs who's boss. You might have watched the Crimson Tide last night tell the Tennessee Volunteers who's their daddy for 13 years straight. It's interesting to watch sports because sporting events show us oftentimes who's the boss, who's got it this year. And it's something we can relate to, going on someone else's turf and telling them who's the boss. Those things happen. I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 4 because what we have here is Jesus showing up on someone else's turf and saying, The boss is here. Watch it. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. This is Jesus being tempted. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. That's what the devil thinks. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours, Jesus. You know that temptation the devil often uses in our day as well. But look how Jesus responds. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You know what Jesus told the devil? There's only one that I answer to, and it ain't you. There's only one, my Father, who I answer to, and it ain't you. So I want to give you, Christian, a little bit of application right here. Anytime you are tempted to do things that you know you ought not to, let me give you just a weapon in your arsenal. There's only one thing you have to say, and it's this. Hey, devil. Hey, sin. There's only one that I answer to, and it ain't you. It's Jesus. We are his servants. Now, notice what else is interesting theologically about this passage. It's very interesting. Jesus is very clearly stating where authority is. And what, look at Mark chapter 3. You're going to see this tie. This is for you theologians and you everyday theologians. Check this out. Mark chapter 3, verse 26. Look what Jesus says. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. And look what Jesus says, interestingly enough, about Satan and his authority over this earth, in which he has some authority here. But look what Jesus says about his ministry. Verse 27. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. This was Jesus very early in his ministry announcing the fact that, yeah, Satan might be a strong man, but someone's coming into his house. Someone is going to bind him, tie him up, and someone is going to plunder his house. Years ago, LSU had a player called Tyrann Mathieu. He got a nickname. Anybody remember that nickname he got? The Honey Badger. Because for whatever reason that season, Tyrann Mathieu would cause havoc and wreak havoc on offenses. It seemed like he would just walk up to people, rip the ball out of their hands, and then run it back for a touchdown. He played defense. They called him the Honey Badger because there was some TV show where the Honey Badger just went into other people's nests and took their eggs and ate them. He just took what he wanted. So he got this name, the Honey Badger, because he took what he wanted. I thought about that when I read this passage and I think about it, because Jesus, you know what he does? You know what the boss does? The boss does what he wants. He doesn't have to ask your permission or my permission. And who's the boss? Jesus comes in and he comes to this earth and he says, I'm taking my people. I know my sheep and my sheep know me and I'm taking them. And while, yes, the devil has claim over things in this world, and while he has some authority here, guess what he doesn't have? Authority over Jesus. And what Jesus is very clearly telling us here is, I'm come to the earth, and I'm taking my people. And church, you are his people. So Jesus says, you're mine. I'm taking you. And now I own you. Christian, this ought to give us pause. In a world saturated in me-centered, self-centered, self-exalted. You can't even listen to Christian radio without hearing self-exalting songs these days. We are so saturated in this stuff. When's the last time you sat back and you said, Jesus, you own me. I'm yours. Do with me whatever you want to do. I'm yours, Lord. Get rid of selfish desire in me. Do not foster them. Jesus, you are Lord. That's what we need to hear, church. Jesus is the Lord. We are not. This is what Jesus came to do, to show us that he is the boss. And to prove it, Mark chapter 3, look what Jesus does. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he went up on a mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and he came to them. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, or sent ones, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So what did Jesus do? He said, I'm the boss. These powers of evil have nothing on me. They're not in the same league. They're peewee. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to even give authority to you, apostles. Y'all go show what peewee that these demons are. And he gave them authority to cast out demons, to boss demons around. Christianity is not weakness. Christianity is humbling yourself to the greatest power in all the universe. Jesus is the boss. There is nothing that can compare to him. When I was younger, I watched some scary movies from time to time. And there were a few times that I got scared. Like at bedtime, I would get scared. And there were times when I was scared of the dark, scared of what was out there. And I began to realize, when I became a Christian, I began to realize, why am I scared? There's a boss to this universe. There is a Lord of this universe. And I'm in his hands, and he's got it. I don't have to tell him what to do. I don't have to remind him. He's the Lord. As an adult, I grumble sometimes, and I catch myself. You ever do that? Racka, fracka, shracka, racka, shracka, racka, racka. I watched the cartoons growing up. That's what Yosemite Sam would say. Just a grumbling. And I catch myself and I go, Jesus is the boss. Why am I grumbling? If he weren't going to use it for good, it wouldn't have happened. So why am I grumbling about this? And whether it be disease, whether it be problems, whether it be this person doesn't act the way that I want them to act, whether it be as a husband or a parent or a pastor or an employee, Jesus is the boss. And it's happening because Jesus said so. I don't need to grumble. Christian, you don't need to grumble. We don't need to grumble. The Lord is working out things for his glory. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Mark chapter 11. Y'all still with me, guys? Y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? Mark chapter 11, verse 27. Not everybody believes that Jesus is the boss. Not everybody understands him, the boss. Mark chapter 11, verse 27. And they came again to Jerusalem. And he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the temple bosses, or so they think. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them? We're the bosses. And Jesus said to them, I'll ask you a question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me. They discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, they were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, I don't know. Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. They didn't like Jesus' authority. And people who think they're in authority don't like when someone else has authority, do they? This is the reason why many people don't like Jesus. At least the Bible version of Jesus. I mean, you ever notice that? That if you can proclaim a Jesus that's friendly to lots of sinful things, people like that Jesus. But when the Jesus comes along that takes a stand for righteousness and holiness, people don't like that Jesus. Because that Jesus calls right right and wrong wrong. And people don't like when someone else gets to declare what's right right. And when someone else gets to declare what's wrong wrong. And as long as your Jesus doesn't get to say what's wrong, then that Jesus is, he's all right. But people don't like when other people are in authority. Jesus says, I'm the boss. And the temple people didn't like it very much because they thought they were the boss and they could declare what's right and they could declare what was wrong. Look in John chapter 10, verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. And no one takes it from me. But I lay down my life of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. Did you hear that? Did y'all hear that? Who has authority to lay down their life? Jesus. Who has authority to raise it up again? Jesus. Does anybody take Jesus' life away from him?
No.
Remember that. And then I didn't put the cross reference here, and I should have. But in John chapter 18, when Jesus is speaking to Pilate, and Pilate says, so you are a king. Remember that dialogue Jesus had with Pilate? Remember that? Do you remember that Jesus was silent to Pilate? And Pilate says, why won't you talk to me? Don't you know that I have the power to set you free? Remember that conversation? Don't you know, Jesus, I can set you free? Do you remember what Jesus says back to Pilate? I love this. In classic Jesus-ness, you know what Jesus says back to Pilate? You'd have no authority if it weren't given to you by my Father. You'd have no authority. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, you didn't put me here. My Father put me here. And he used you to do it. Jesus is the boss. Pilate thought he was the boss. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees thought they were the boss. And at one point in my life, I thought I was the boss. And I'd venture to say that you thought you were the boss. But this is what Christianity is. We go back to John chapter 10 and we see that Jesus lays down his life for people who thought they were the boss, but recognize that they aren't the boss. And this is where Christianity begins. And this is what faith is. And this is the faith that Jesus commended for dropping somebody through the roof. And this is the faith Jesus commended in the centurion who said, I recognize who you are, Jesus. You're the boss. You're the Lord. You're the authority. And this is where Christianity begins. And when if someone comes before the Lord Jesus and says, Jesus, I was my boss, but I surrender that now because I believe by faith and I know that you're the Lord, not me. Church, do you remember? Do you remember when you did that? Do you remember the time when you had to say, I am not the boss. Jesus is Lord. I believe it. Church, do you remember? That is the day, that is the moment when your soul was saved. Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 12. He said this. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I warn you who to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Look at it this way. Jesus was saying, you see all the things I'm doing? You see all the miracles? You see all the healings? You see all the things that, you see who I am? I'm telling you here while I'm on earth who I am so that you will believe in me and that you can have salvation. Because if you don't believe in me and you don't surrender to me, I can cast you into the place that you deserve, and that is the fire of hell. But I'm willing for all who would come, for all who would believe in my name, that you might become, what, church? Children of God. Sons, daughters of God. Not by the will of flesh, not by the will of man, but you were born of God. This is Jesus. I'm going to give you one more passage of scripture and then some application to leave on. John chapter 17, look at this. And I don't know if you've noticed, authority has been a huge word here, but look at John 17 with me. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. This is Jesus praying. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son of Man may glorify you. He just told Judas to go betray him. Father, now glorify your Son. Who's orchestrating this plan anyway? Since you have given him your Son authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whom you have given him. Remember what I said? Jesus came and he said, that's my child. You hear it? Jesus comes in and he takes what he wants. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all you whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. What is this eternal life? What is this eternal life? That they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Here's your eternal life. Jesus says, know me. Believe me. Come into the kingdom. Be saved. Be redeemed. And the story of redemption finds its culmination here in Jesus coming and redeeming his people, paying for his people, making his people who were wrong right. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not a Christian today, your application is this. Surrender to the Lord Jesus while you have the opportunity. It's a very simple call. Jesus said, come to me. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself, that means deny that you're the boss die to your own desires, your flesh, and be born again. Follow me. If you're not a Christian, I want to invite you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus today. And do it in fear and trembling. And do it with joy and great hope. If you're a Christian today, I'm going to answer a question. There was a TV show that I used to watch back in the 80s, I think it was. Had Tony Danza in it. What show was that? Who's the Boss? Anybody else watch that show? Who's the Boss? Oh, man. Tony Maselli. I can answer that question. Jesus is the Boss. And so, Christian, what does that mean? That means we live like Jesus is the Boss. And if Jesus doesn't want us to do something, guess what? We don't do it. If Jesus wants us to do something, guess what? We do it. Jesus is the Lord. He is the Boss. He is the authority. And so, Christian, live your life like He's the Boss. Not like we get to be the middleman and say, well, I don't know if I like that one, Jesus. Let's change that one. Or, oh, Jesus, that one's too hard. That one doesn't make me comfortable. I don't like that one. I'm not going to do that one. That's not what Jesus has called us to do. Jesus is the Boss. I am not the Boss. And we have to battle with that, Christian, daily. So my encouragement for you is battle with that. Deny yourself daily. In the perfect tense, deny yourself and recognize if Jesus wants it, then that Jesus should get. And I'm going to be His servant living in that way. And that tests your love for Him. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Jesus is the Boss. Let's close in prayer. We recognize, Jesus, You are the Boss. That You are the authority, that You own us. That we are Your servants, and it's Your kingdom, not ours. It's Your kingdom, and we are servants in Your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be faithful servants in Your kingdom. Lord, if there is anyone that is not a believer that needs to bow a knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Boss, to the authority of all the universe, Lord, give them faith, give them hope, and help them overcome. Lord, we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.